This morning I greet you in the precious name of Christ. I find it a blessing to have strength to be able to get up and to preach the word. The message this morning did not directly come from, or the subject did not directly come from Brother Andy, but the encouragement that he gave and got me thinking about some things. And I took his encouragement and his advice, and this sermon came to be the start of it at least a number of months ago already. But subject that the Lord has laid upon my heart is the title of it I have given as The Power of Encouragement. The Power of Encouragement. I know here a few Sundays ago, Brother John preached about encouragement, which was a tremendous message. This morning is maybe a little bit more on the personal note, how you and I can be an encouragement to others, and how we have been encouraged by others, what the Scripture does say about it. Think about the definition of encouragement. It's a word that we use a lot. Here just a moment ago, I encourage you to be an encouragement to Brother Andy. What does the word encouragement mean? Well, the dictionary would say to stimulate and to affirm with courage and confidence. Various ways that that can be done. We'll look at some of those ways this morning. I want to first look at a few verses in Scripture and then throughout the message, of course. But then we want to get quite practical with it and see how we can be encouragement to one another. How can we stimulate? How can we affirm with courage? If somebody is discouraged, they lack courage to do what they feel they should be doing, what they have maybe been called to do. I know we have all experienced that sometime or another, discouragement. We just lack that courage to move ahead. And when somebody comes along and gives us that encouragement, maybe you've been at a point where you wonder now, should I do this or shouldn't I? Maybe it's not even wondering if you should. Maybe knowing that you should. But can I really do it? Can I really fulfill what I know I should be doing? And somebody comes along with a word of encouragement and it stimulates us. It affirms that, yes, by God's grace, I can and will fulfill what I've been called to do. Gives us that confidence. And so in this world, why do we need encouragement? Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. I'm going to read the first 14 verses. Why do we need encouragement in this world? What are we facing? And as I read these verses, think about why you may need encouragement. Why do we need encouragement? What are we facing? Now, this is not too many of these things, or not too much of this is mentioned at a very personal level, what I may be facing today, the little struggle that I have today, the little trial that I've been going through, but maybe an overall view, and I think the basis of it. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. And I thought about that. You know, what I'm sharing with you this morning, as an encouragement, to be an encouragement, and the things that we're facing, we all are very much familiar with the struggles and the times that we live in and the seasons that we live in. Verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. Pause there for just a moment. It says that we are not in darkness. We are children of light. And so if we're not walking in darkness and we're children of light, and we have been, we have obtained salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to live with him whether we're still alive when he comes or not, we're going to be with him. Why should we ever face a situation where we need somebody to encourage us? But you know, the fact is we are human. We are human. We truly are. And so we do need these times. And so verse 11, notice that. Well, let's, just another thought though. While we are human, while we face these things, we're maybe walking in light and been obtained salvation. But we face these things and we want to stay true and faithful to those things. We want to continue walking in the light. And we need encouragement to do so. Walking in the light does not happen automatically after you have stepped into the light. And we need encouragement. And that's why verse 11 says, wherefore, because of these things, comfort yourselves together. And that word comfort has the idea of encourage yourselves together. And I trust that's one of the reasons we get together on a Sunday morning. We could worship by ourselves at home. But you know what? It'd be hard to comfort one another if everybody stays in their living room Sunday mornings. And so it is one of those beautiful opportunities we have of meeting together and encouraging ourselves together because we all have the same goal. And it says, edify one another even as also you do. And edify means build each other up. Build each other up. He says, you're already doing that. He said, I'm just encouraging you to continue doing that. Build each other up. Is that what you're doing? Is that what we're doing? Are we building each other up? How do we do that? I tell you what, you talk about politics nowadays, you talk about financial struggles nowadays, business life nowadays, that generally, oftentimes, at least doesn't build you up. For sure, politics doesn't. Okay? That's not what he's talking about. Those are not the kind of discussions we need to have to build each other up. Now, we can maybe it should encourage us to pray for the upcoming elections. That we should. Scripture, by the way, says that. We need to do that. But the focus here, what he is trying to tell us in these verses, remember it says, wherefore, right? We have a goal of heaven. We're walking in the light. Let us encourage others to stay there. Verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now, just a thought. Those verses talk about the ministry, verse 12 and 13. Now, the very last phrase, and be at peace among yourselves, let me just say this, that is an encouragement to the ministry. Verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, we encourage you, brethren, to warn them that are unruly, to comfort, to encourage, stimulate the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. If we continue to think about the first number of verses here, on the goal that we have and what we've been saved from and where we're walking. He says, I encourage you to warn them that are unruly. Those that are not living the way they should. Encourage them. Encourage them back into the light. Warn them. Warn them what is going to be their end of their ways. And comfort the feeble-minded. The feeble-minded are those that are faint-hearted or easily discouraged. He says, comfort those, encourage those, come alongside of those. And support the weak. And the weak ones are those that are struggling in the faith. Struggling. I know this is what it says. Does it really mean that to me? Not in a questioning way, but kind of struggling to understand. It says, support those weak, the weak ones. And then says, be patient toward all men. Be patient toward all men. And it takes that to work with people. It takes that to be an encourager. Because you know what we'd like to see? When we walk up to somebody and we are an encouragement to them, we speak some word of encouragement, we want to see results right away. Be patient. Some people just take a little while. Some people may not take it as an encouragement right away. Be patient. Sometimes we step up and we try to encourage somebody and we say this and we say that and it is a negative answer coming back. Let's be patient toward all men. Because it may mean more to that person than we realize. So we see these basis of our encouragement, the reason why we need encouragement. As we think about the feeble-minded, the weak ones, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 22 says, nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be feeble are necessary. So that's another important factor to keep in mind, that the ones that seem to be feeble, 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the body as being the church as being the body of Christ. And so we have those feeble-minded ones, feeble ones among us at times. And those are necessary, it says. They are just as much part of the body as the rest. And so let us be patient. Let us encourage. Let us support those. Let's look at a verse in Proverbs 12, 25. How can we, moving on to just a little bit more, let's look at the verse in Proverbs 12. A little bit more on the practical side of things. It's worked that way. So we think about being an encouragement and the power of encouragement. What does it do? Does it do any good? Well, I think we can all say that it has done a lot of good in our lives when we have been encouraged. Proverbs 12, verse 25 says, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. That word heaviness means anxiety. We say, now wait a minute, the New Testament says that we're not supposed to be anxious about anything, right? Isn't that what Philippians, I think, says that? Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it to stoop. And I think we know what that can feel like. There is sometimes anxiety. Again, we are human. And we do face those anxious moments, and we wonder how it's going to hold out and how it's all going to work out and what if this and what if that, and we face those times. And sometimes we get to those situations where that's all we see. And I hope none of you have been there, but it maketh a heart to stoop. But look what it says. But a good word maketh it glad. That is somebody else coming and giving an encouraging word. Is there power in encouragement? Does it make a difference? Is it worth it? What kind of power is in there? Let's think about it a little bit. That words are powerful. The words that we speak are powerful. Let's go to Proverbs 18. And verse 21. Proverbs 18, 21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Yes, words are powerful. The words that you speak can do powerful things. But it says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So what are you trying to do with the words that you speak? The story is told of a man. Let's call him Billy. He was walking down the street one day and met up with somebody, and man looked at him and says, "Billy, are you all right? You feeling okay?" "Yeah, I'm feeling well." So he kept on walking, met up with somebody else, and says, "Billy, are you sure you're feeling okay?" He said, "You're rather pale this morning." "Oh yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good." So he keeps on walking, meets up with somebody else that says much the same thing. "Now, Billy, I don't know. Are you sure you're feeling okay?" "Well, I think so. Well, you look pale." "No, I think I'll be okay." Well, he meets up with another person or two that says much the same thing, and after a while, he's beginning to wonder, is he really feeling okay? And he ended up getting quite sick that day. We may say, "Now, wait a minute, that's a hypothetical situation." Words have power. Words can do strange things, especially if you believe everything I hope you don't believe everything you hear. But that's how powerful words can be. It can start making you double guess yourself. So are words that important? I hope nobody ever done that to you or you do it to anybody else. But words can be that powerful. And then it's why you cringe sometimes when you hear parents, especially out in the communities, when they talk about their children and calling them brats and calling them different things. "My, he's just a bad boy." You know what? They're probably going to measure up to that. If they keep hearing negative comments about themselves, degrading comments about themselves, that's what they are. They finally conclude, "You know what? That's just the way I am." And it has tremendous damage, can do tremendous damage to a person, to a child, to a teenager, to anybody that hears negative things. So words are powerful. But you know, we turn that thing around and to where we give encouraging words. We give encouragement to people, to our children, compliment them, encourage them. Sometimes they need correction. Sometimes they need direction. Sometimes they need to be told how to do something differently, but it can be done in an encouraging way, and it builds them up. It makes them feel like they're worth something, and it's encouraging. So either death or life are in the power of the tongue. And so this morning, the encouragement is to put life into the words that we speak to build others up. I want to give you two word pictures this morning. First of one, I want to start with a positive one. A word picture of geese. When I think of geese, of course, I think of the Canadian geese, Canada geese, whatever they call them. And we are familiar with them, some down here in the south. Up north where I grew up, there was thousands upon thousands of them every fall and spring. But you see the formation that fly in, right? It's usually in a V-shaped. Now, why is that? Well, they tell me the reason they fly in a V-shape is because their powerful wings can create the lift for the bird behind them. In other words, as they're flying along and they're flapping their wings, it creates a lift for the bird behind them. It encourages them on. And they say that a bird flying, or birds, geese, flying in a V formation can fly 70% farther than one goose by himself because of that. It encourages it. Now, the other thing that you see and hear about, more or less hear about these geese when they're flying, there is an occasional honk, right? You hear that. Especially if they're low enough to where you can easily see them and you can hear them honk. That is an encouragement to the leaders in front of them to keep on going, keep up their speed. How they figure that, I don't know. This is what I read, okay? And so it's words of encouragement. Keep going. Keep up your speed. Let's go. And they create that lift. Being a positive. Think about that. And the other thing about geese is that, especially up north, we had a lot of hunters come through and they would be out there hunting in the fall and shooting these geese down. Now, if a goose gets shot or gets wounded in some way, gets sick or something, and he goes down, there's generally two other geese that go down with it, simply to be with that hurt goose. And they're going to stay with it either till it's well enough to fly again or till it dies. And then these geese take off again and they go find another formation to fly in with. And so they stick with it. Doesn't that sound like 1 Thessalonians 5, where it says that comfort the feeble-minded and support the weak? Geese don't know that, but we do. Can we learn some lessons from that? Can we see that word picture there? There's also another illustration I heard from Brother Andy, is that I understand the Navy SEALs, something to do with the armed forces in some type of way. Their motto was that you never let a wounded soldier lie. If somebody gets wounded in battle, they're going to stay with it till it's healed, till it's ready to go, or a person dies. But they're never just going to leave them behind. And you know, that is such a beautiful picture for what the church should be. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we have wounded soldiers among us. We are in a battle, and we have wounded soldiers among us. And wounds can come from different ways, in different forms. But we should rally around that person. We should be there as an encouragement to that person and see it through till that person is well again. And be there as an encouragement. But how would we feel if we find ourselves struggling, we find ourselves down? Psalmist says a number of times in a couple of psalms there, he talks about, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou discouraged? Hope thou in God." Look at these things. But you know, sometimes we find ourselves discouraged and getting ahead of myself here. But anyway, we can go in the Word and we get encouragement for ourselves. But you know what? Sometimes we need encouragement from others. Sometimes we need to step up to somebody and encourage them. But too often, I shouldn't say it that way, sometimes we are tempted to do the opposite. Now let me give you that other word picture. It's a negative one. I see this in the chicken house. Let me just insert this. The encouragement that Andy gave with me, he said, "You know what, you're spending all this time walking down your chicken house." He said, "Maybe you come up with ideas for sermons." And so I think about these things as I walk down my chicken house, and this is one of the things that I noticed. When the chickens get to be a number of weeks old, 5, 6, going on 7 weeks old, about right now, the stage they are about now and older, different times what happens with these chickens, they flip over on their back to get a heart attack. They flip over on their back, and there's no way that they can get up by themselves. And so they're not dead necessarily. They're laying there, they're flapping their wings, they're kicking their legs, and they just raising their head, but they just can't get up. And so you'd think these chickens would come around them and just kind of butt them with their heads and turn them back over. But no, that's the last thing the other chickens do. And so there they are. But what do you do when you come and you see the chicken up ahead? And so you walk over there and chasing chickens as you go. What do the other chickens do? They run right over top of it. There's plenty of room right beside it, but they're going to run right over top of the chicken that's had a heart attack. And sometimes, you know what? They stop right on top of it and stand there till you shoo it off. And it just kind of gets me because, well, surely you can be more respectful than that. But you know what? They're just a chicken, okay? But I had to think about that. How often am I not somewhat tempted to do the same thing? It is a whole lot easier to wag my tongue about somebody to somebody else. And there I go ahead, and I'm going to run over that person, and I'm going to stand on top of that person, and I'm going to say negative things about that person because it doesn't feel good for a chicken to get run over because it scratches. And so we say negative things about that person instead of going over there and helping that person up. Are we going to be an encouragement? We say, well, you know what kind of person it is. Well, yeah, we know what kind of person it is. I had to borrow a phrase probably totally out of context, but it was in our passage today of Sunday school. It was the phrase, "strengthen the things that remain." Okay, this church was declared to be dead, but there's a few strands that remain. Strengthen those things. Think about this person. Think about this person that needs encouragement. Surely there is something good about that person. Strengthen those things. Encourage in those things. And use those things to build up more courage. Okay, flip that person over and encourage him again. Restore that soul. That's what Psalmist says in Psalm 23. He restoreth my soul. That chicken, if it is not flipped over, if the master does not come along and take that foot and just move it over. Sometimes I take my hand and flip them chickens over. And you know what? They kind of struggle there for a little bit and they get up and they walk off. A restore the soul of that doesn't have a soul. But restore the life. Gave it another opportunity to live again. And that's the way Christ does with us. He restores our soul. It brings us back to where we, you know, when we're down. And sometimes God says, look, I want you to go. And I'm going to, through you, restore the soul of that person. Can we be there as an encouragement? Strengthen the things that remain. See the good in others. Encourage them in it. There's good in everybody. And see those things. Be there for them. And sometimes, a lot of things I've talked about now are maybe verbal encouragements, but there is nonverbal encouragements, and one is prayer. One is prayer. It's a nonverbal encouragement that you can be for others. And then you insert a little bit of verbalness with that and tell the person that you're praying for them. It means a lot, especially if somebody's having a hard day, somebody is struggling, and somebody is whatever it is, maybe just sick physically. Let that person know you're praying for them. It's a tremendous encouragement, but pray for them. Notes is another thing. As a nonverbal encouragement that you can give. Share a note with somebody. Maybe it's the school teachers that might need a note of encouragement. I've never been one, but I can imagine it would be an encouragement to find a note on your desk or through a student coming to school. Maybe it's notes to the preachers. Now that is encouraging. I can say that and testify to that. Just got a note here this past week from a young child, and it was encouraging. It was encouraging to me. Just this morning, I got a text from a brother and just let me know that he's praying for me as I preach and as I study. That was encouraging. These things can be. We have access to these things. Let us do these things. Let us think about others. Another way to be encouraging, maybe a nonverbal encouragement as well here, is give a listening ear. Be there to listen. Sometimes people, all they want is somebody to listen to them. And maybe you don't always want to listen what this person has to share, but listen anyway. Listen anyway. James 1:19 says, being swift to hear. Some of us, myself included, is sometimes swift to speak. But James says, being swift to hear. Give that listening ear. That's a tremendous encouragement. Another way to be an encouragement is simply being there. Simply being there. Acts 28, verse 15, we have the account where Paul was on his way to Rome. And I don't think it was a very encouraging trip for Paul, the different things that he faced. Being a prisoner, and he was on his way to Rome, but he gets to this one city, and what does he do? He meets some brethren. And Paul said, it says there, when Paul saw them, he took courage. Beautiful picture. He was encouraged by simply brethren to be there for him. Be there for people. And you know, let me say this. All this takes alertness. All this takes an interest. Why would we even bother doing this for somebody? Let me tell you something. And maybe I told you before, but we're basically all in the same boat. 1 Thessalonians 5 here talks about what our goal is and what our aim is, and we all have some experiences in life, and it says somewhere that some of the things that we face, my own words, are not new to the brethren that are in the world. These are not new things. Some of the things that you face are not new to anybody else necessarily. So we may understand. We are a brotherhood. We are a body. We are a building, these scripture says. And so we should be there to build each other up, to encourage one another in these things. And so let's be there. Let's be there. Gifts can be another way to let people know that you care about them and that you thought about them. It means a lot. The gifts. Let people know. Are we there? Are we there to encourage them? Do we see that? And you know, these nonverbal encouragements mean just as much sometimes, or sometimes more, than a verbal encouragement. Because we may be tempted to say, well, I don't know what to say to that person. Well, what I'm saying here by nonverbal encouragement, you don't always have to say something. Sometimes being there, sometimes just praying with them, just sometimes whatever it may be, Lord lays on your heart. Encouragement. And there's power in it. Another aspect of encouragement, what I touched on before, is encouragement doesn't always have to come from others. Okay? Encouragement doesn't always have to come from others. What did David do when it seemed like everything was lost? The city was burnt, his family was gone, the men turned against him, they were fixing to stone him. It said he encouraged himself in the Lord. And that is so powerful as well. So powerful as well. Encouraged himself in the Lord. There are so many passages that we can read. Now let me just give you one example. A thought came to me as we sat in Sunday school this morning, that it talked about let me just get those exact words. If I can find them here. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name, out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now think about that. Jesus Christ confessing your name, your personal name mentioned in heaven. And that thought just struck me. That is encouraging. Because sometimes, I'll be honest with you, sometimes I struggle thinking my name just really isn't worth much. After all, it's just me, okay? But my name is going to be mentioned. If I'm going to be an overcomer, that is, if I'm going to remain faithful, then my name is going to be mentioned to the Father in heaven. These kind of things can come up. There's a lot of things encouraging in the scriptures that we can face. The other thing is, if we reach out to others, we reach out and are a blessing to others, it encourages us as well. It does two things. It blesses somebody else, and the other thing it does, it takes the mind off of myself and my problems and my struggles. And so we reach out and we focus on being an encouragement to others, and encourages us in return. We need to encourage. We need these things. We need that support to remain true and faithful. And it is a blessing to have brethren, spiritual brethren, that are an encouragement. Imagine being a lone goose flying by yourself. But the encouragement that we have of each other. Malachi 3 verse 16 says, "Then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another." And I don't think that was politics and business. I think that was spiritual encouragements. Spiritual word, upbuilding discussions. I think that's what they spoke one to another about. And we need to do the same. I think those words are there for an encouragement to us to do that, to build each other up. In this world, with all the negative things that are happening that we could talk about and sometimes do, we need to focus on what really is important. We don't know what the future is for this country. We don't know what the future is, what the church will face. And it seems like it's been so easy, in quotes, for the church to remain and to continue on and to continue to grow with very little outside pressure. But let me remind you, though, that there is a tremendous amount of outside pressure. It may not be our heads, okay? It may not be the chopping block. It may not be the stake, but there's a tremendous of outside pressure that the church is already facing, that you and I as individuals are already facing. So let us be here and exhort one another daily and encourage one another daily. What is called today to be faithful. And sometimes the word of encouragement is not always looked at in a positive way. Well, sometimes a word of admonition, a word of rebuke, word of advice sometimes is the encouragement that we need. Maybe we need to be encouraged to get back. It says it's supposed to be warned the unruly. And sometimes we may not realize on how unruly we are or how close to being extreme danger that we may find ourselves in. And it takes that encouragement, that nudge from somebody else. And let's take it as such because we want to see each other in glory. We want to be faithful. We want to continue walking in that light. And so let us exhort one another daily what is called today. Let's kneel for prayer.